This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley, creeping ever closer to Christmas.
I am not ready.
Really?
No. I have quite a bit more Christmas shopping yet to do.
We're only 9 or 10 days away.
Every year it's the same thing for me, getting closer and closer, and the more I put it off or can't get around to it. And I thought I was doing good this year. I started early and just gone downhill.
You know, when I first noticed the calendar and saw that Christmas and New Year's were on a Tuesday, I thought, ew, middle of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But I'm kind of starting to like the idea of Tuesday. You know, Thanksgiving was, well, it was the earliest it could possibly be. It was the earliest date it could be this year, which kind of elongated the official Christmas season, if there is such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we started thinking about, although some people are thinking about it in July, but we started kind of thinking about it a little bit earlier, so it gave you that little bit extra time. But then also having Christmas come up on a Tuesday, I kind of thought I kind of like that, actually, because it, you know, it gives you that one last weekend right before.
Yeah.
Although I think the last place you'd want to be
is anywhere shopping.
Is in some of those shopping locations, yeah. But on the last weekend before Christmas. However, you know, it is nice that you do have that flexibility. So as we speak here yet, you still really have 2 weekends left.
That's true.
Even though there are only like 9 or 10 days until we get to Christmas. But I'm just excited because we're only, we're less than 10 days away now. Less than 10 days away from one of the biggest television events of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 24 Hours of a Christmas Story.
Yay.
On TBS. I love that movie.
I like the movie, but I don't know if I need to watch 24 Hours.
I'm glad they show it 12 times in a row. It's 2 hours.
I guess,
movie.
So if you take it, fall asleep, then you can just wake up and probably, you know, right back into it.
Yeah, because I'm not sure I ever watched the thing start to finish.
Yeah.
I keep picking up in different places, so I piece the movie together.
Yeah.
I know all the lines by now, but I piece the movie together as we go, so it kind of works out. Well, Christmas is getting closer. Getting excited?
I am, yeah.
You know, you got a little one-year-old boy at home.
I know.
Who actually was sick last weekend for his first birthday.
He was. It was pretty awful. He had a fever all weekend and wasn't really into his birthday parties so much. Kind of got a little better, but then all he wanted was the balloons, so he wasn't really into opening presents and... He hasn't even had his birthday cake yet.
Yeah, but you know what cures all that real fast? Christmas.
Christmas.
Right
I
around
hope
the corner.
So.
I think you'll enjoy that because this will be the first time he's really conscious for Christmas.
Yeah.
He's just a few weeks old the first time.
Yeah, he was napping in a swing, I think, the whole time while we opened presents.
Oh, good boy.
Or fell asleep in our our arms.
He may not remember this Christmas 20 years from now.
No.
But he'll have fun.
Yeah.
He will
have
fun.
I sure hope so. I'm excited for it.
Well, he'll have a good time with that. Do you guys have a lot of let's try that again. Do you guys have a lot of Christmas traditions or Christmas traditions, I guess, but in your families?
I don't know about, I mean, I guess a lot. I know on my side, growing up, we'd always open a few gifts Christmas Eve, kind of more, I guess, Christmas Eve, going to a church service Christmas Eve, and then coming home, and we'd always open up a few presents, and it was always new pajamas, a new Christmas ornament, and usually, like, when we were younger, a video game, or as we were older, like a movie. So that's usually kind of, we all wear our new pajamas and play the new game or, you know, watch the movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have some of those things to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christmas is a time when, you know, sometimes that's about the only time some folks can get together. Families are so spread out anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of nice to have those little traditions. My mom had this tradition every year, dating back to when we were just very, very young children. Every year, one of the things we always got was a little box or bag or something, and in it, it had socks and underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And she still does that to this day.
Nice.
Well, she tried to stop years ago, and I gave her a hard time. I said,
it's the only time I get up.
Where's my package with underwear and socks? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually have to buy those things for myself this year.
That's
kind of
the same with me with the socks, too. Yeah.
But it was kind of a running joke,
mm-hmm.
and it was just something, and then we kind of, you know, we had fun with it. But, yeah. Then it was back the next year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to break that tree. So it's kind of our running traditional thing that, I mean, it's just a silly thing, but it's just, you know, there are always those little things because families change. I mean, you know, generations pass on, you know, new people come into the family, whether it's through birth or through marriage. And, you know, so, you know, it's, you can never, the old saying, you can't go home again. To a certain extent, that's true because things do change over time. But if there are little things you can do, little traditions that you can do to kind of keep things, something you can hang on to.
Right.
It's kind of nice. Kind of gives you that feeling of family again, too. It's kind of interesting to do those types of things. I also actually at a craft store one time, I found one of those little wooden things you hang up on the wall, little crafty
Yeah.
thing, and it said, "If you're naughty, Santa will give you underwear."
Okay.
So of course I bought that for my mom. That,
Oh,
that's
yeah. She
proudly
liked
displayed in her house. Yeah,
that.
now it's part of the tradition too. Well, you know, we all know the big traditions of Christmas, Santa Claus and Christmas trees, things like that are fairly traditional. You know, here in the U.S., we kind of have a lot of other traditions that go on during the Christmas season too that maybe aren't necessarily done in other places. Christmas stockings are one. You guys have Christmas stockings hanging from the mantle?
We do.
Of course, who doesn't? Even if you don't have a mantle, you have them somewhere. We didn't have a fireplace growing up. We didn't have a mantle, but my mom used to hang them off the knobs of the bureau in the dining room. That's where we put them. So we had stockings there. At our house, if you come by our house now, you'll find four stockings, even though there are just two of us.
For kitties?
We have one for each cat
Oh, that's
too.
nice. My mom does that too.
So I mean, you know, it's a tradition that a lot of folks use, and there won't be anything in those stockings come Christmas
Oh, it's gonna
morning.
put in cat toys and treats.
But you know, they're there. It's just kind of a decorative thing. But according to legend, a kindly nobleman grew despondent over the death of his beloved wife, and he foolishly squandered his fortune, and that left his three young daughters without dowries, and thus facing a life of spinsterhood. You following
Okay,
all
I
that?
am so far.
This goes back a long way. This is the Christmas stocking tradition. Well, the generous Saint Nicholas, hearing of the girl's plight, set forth to help. So, wishing to remain anonymous, he rode his white horse by the nobleman's house and threw three small pouches of gold coins down the chimney, where they were fortuitously captured by the stockings that the young women had hung by the fireplace to dry. So that's according to allthingschristmas.com, a website. That's how the tradition of Christmas stockings. That's how it says. Now, how it actually
That's
happened, we
pretty
don't
good
know.
landing.
But yeah, that's pretty good target practice there. But that's according to tradition how the Christmas stockings came to
All
be. Do
right.
you have mistletoe around the house?
No.
Not so much.
No. I don't know if I've even really, I guess, ever looked for it in the stores either, so.
Mistletoe can be a blessing or a curse, depending
Okay.
upon how you look
How
at it, I
you
guess.
who you meet, I see, yeah.
Who you meet under the mistletoe. But yeah, mistletoe goes back a long way, 200 years before the birth of Christ, actually. The plant had no roots, but it remained green during the cold months of winter. So the ancient Celtic people believed that mistletoe had magical healing powers. So they used it as an antidote for poison, infertility, and to ward off evil spirits. And the plant also was seen as a symbol of peace. And they say that among Romans, enemies who met under the mistletoe would lay down their weapons and embrace. So it kind of gets you an idea of where some of that kind of stuff started. So Scandinavians associated the plant also with Frigga, their goddess of love. So that might be where we came up with the idea of kissing under the
Kissing, yeah.
mistletoe. Those who kissed under the mistletoe had the promise of happiness and good luck in the following year. So you just never know where it all comes from. How about candy canes? Any idea where candy canes started?
Sweet shop.
Yeah, at the candy store, of course. Well, they say it wasn't long after Europeans began using Christmas trees that special decorations were used to adorn them. Food items like candies and cookies were used predominantly, and straight white candy sticks were one of the confections that were used for ornaments. Now, legend has it that during the 17th century, craftsmen created the white sticks of candy in the shape of shepherd's crooks at the suggestion of the choir master at the Cologne Cathedral in Germany. The candy treats were given to children to keep them quiet during ceremonies at the nativity scene, the live nativity scene, and the custom of passing out the candy crooks at such ceremonies soon spread throughout Europe. And according to the National Confectioners Association, in 1847, German immigrant August Imgard used the candy cane to decorate a Christmas tree in Wooster, Ohio. More than 50 years later, Bob McCormick of Albany, Georgia, supposedly made candy canes as treats for family, friends, and local shopkeepers. McCormick's brother-in-law, who was a Catholic priest, Gregory Keller, invented a machine in the 1950s that automated the production of candy canes, thus eliminating the usual laborious process of creating the treats, and the popularity of the candy cane started to grow. More recent explanations of the candy cane symbolism held that the color white represents Christ's purity, and the red is the blood that he shed, and the presence of three red stripes are the Holy Trinity. While factual evidence for those notions doesn't exist, they've become very common and at times are represented as fact. So it doesn't really matter how it all happened. If that's what you, if that's the symbolism you put into it, then it makes sense. It's a favorite holiday treat. And it's easy to hang on a Christmas tree if it's got a hook to it.
That is true.
How about Christmas cards? You do Christmas cards, don't you? Eh, kind of sometimes.
Sure.
Well, the first Christmas cards happened in England when young boys practiced their writing skills by creating Christmas greetings for their parents. But they say Sir Henry Cole is credited with creating the first real Christmas card. The first director of London's Victoria and Albert Museum, Sir Henry, found himself too busy in the Christmas season of 1843 to compose individual Christmas greetings for his friends. So he commissioned an artist, John Calcott Horsley, for the illustration. The card featured three panels, with the center panel depicting a family enjoying Christmas festivities, and the card was inscribed with the message, "A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you." So that's where all of that kind of stuff started, too. And then, of course, we have some other traditions. I don't know if you call it necessarily a Christmas tradition, but it's something that the kids love. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
How can you not?
How did that ever start? Because it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
You know, stop and think about it. How does that make any sense? Well, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had his origins. The Chicago-based Montgomery Ward Company, it's a department store, their operators, had been purchasing and distributing children's coloring books as Christmas gifts for their customers for a number of years. Well, in 1939, Montgomery Ward tapped one of their own employees to create a book for them, thus saving the money. Okay, so a 34-year-old copywriter, Robert L. May, wrote the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in 1939, and 2.4 million copies were handed out that year. Now, despite the wartime paper shortage, over 6 million copies had been distributed by 1946. Now, he drew in part on the story of the ugly duckling, and in part from his own experience as an often taunted, small, frail youth to create the story of a misfit reindeer. Though Rollo and Reginald were considered, he settled on the name Rudolph as his reindeer's name. I'm not sure Rollo, the red-nosed reindeer,
yeah,
and Reginald, I don't know about that. Rudolph just seems right. Well, writing in verse as a series of rhyming couplets, he tested the story as he went along, and his 4-year-old daughter Barbara, who just loved the story. Sadly, Robert May's wife died around the time that he was creating Rudolph, and that left May's deeply in debt due to medical bills. However, he was able to persuade Sewell Avery, Montgomery Ward's corporate president, to turn the copyright over to him in January 1947, and that ensured his financial security, as you can well imagine. So May's story, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, was printed commercially in 1947, and in 1948, a 9-minute cartoon of the story was shown in theaters. When May's brother-in-law, songwriter Johnny Marks, wrote the lyrics and melody for the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Rudolph phenomenon was unstoppable. It was born then.
Took off.
He was turned down by many musical artists afraid to contend with the legend of Santa Claus. The song was recorded by Gene Autry in 1949, which is probably still the most popular rendition of it, the original, in 1949 at the urging of his wife. The song sold 2 million copies that year, going on to become one of the best-selling songs of all time, second only to Bing Crosby's White Christmas. The 1964 television special about Rudolph, narrated by Burl Ives, remains a holiday favorite to this day. You can still watch that every... I love that show, actually. Loved it when I was a kid, and I still like it as an adult. Rudolph himself has become a much-loved Christmas icon, all because Montgomery Ward wanted to save a few bucks
yeah,
on printing their
and
Christmas...
look what created, yeah.
On printing up their Christmas giveaway coloring books. That's how it all gets started. It's amazing where traditions come
yeah
from, isn't it? Some of them go way back, and some of them are just somebody trying to save a couple of bucks.
Yeah, who would have known?
Well, who saves a couple of bucks at the holidays now?
Yeah, everybody tries to.
We tend to spend a couple of bucks more than anything else. Well, there's your Christmas traditions. Now you can wow your friends with your knowledge of Christmas trivia when you get together for all of your exciting stuff here this holiday season. We need to take a short break. We'll be back with more for you here right after this.
Whether you're a patient we're seeing regularly for chemo treatments, attending one of our diabetes clinics, or a couple about to have your first baby, at Cass County Memorial Hospital, we think about your health 365 days a year.
What you eat is a big part of your health and wellness. Heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers are linked to what you eat. This is Emily Kringle, registered dietitian at Cass County Memorial Hospital for the past 36 years. eating plenty of whole grains, vegetables, and fruits, along with substituting fish for one serving of red meat a week, will help give your body the fuel it needs to support you in an active, healthy lifestyle.
Whether we're setting a broken bone in our emergency department or providing rehab services after a long illness, we're here to help you feel better. Cass County Memorial Hospital. Neighbors caring for neighbors.
All right. We do have a few things. You know, this is actually the time of the year when a lot of the activities that are scheduled really seriously slow down.
Yeah, it has.
I know you don't have a big list of things there as everybody kind of gets out of the way for Christmas, but there are some things.
Yeah, there's a few things still going on. Some kind of reminders. Jack Beard Christmas light display, that's still going on now. That's through January 1st, and that's from dark until 11 p.m., and that's located north of Red Oak. To get there from Red Oak, drive north on Highway 48 to H-12, and then you turn left and drive about 3 miles west, turn left onto E Avenue. There's no charge to view the display, but donations are accepted.
You said it's from dark until 11 p.m.?
Yeah.
So is that like from like 2 in the afternoon to 11 p.m.?
I know.
Because it seems like it gets dark about then.
I know. I don't like leaving the office, and it's where I have to have my headlights on. It's no fun. Well, for the kids, the Atlantic BPO Does and the Atlantic Post Office, they are once again offering children the chance to send their letters to Santa. Have your kids drop their letters off at the Santa's mailbox outside of the Atlantic Post Office. Make sure they have a return address because Santa answers all the letters sent to him. There's a Red Cross blood drive that will be held. Delana Ditto, formerly of Audubon, she is performing in Branson. She'll be in concert on December 16th at 3 p.m. at the Audubon High School Auditorium. Tickets are $12 and there's no reserved seating. You can purchase those tickets at Audubon Foods, Medicap Pharmacy, Audubon State Bank, Landman's Bank, or you can also call Kay and you can reach her at 563-2466. That's Delana Ditto performing in Audubon on December 16th at 3 p.m. at the Audubon High School Auditorium. Master gardeners are members of the local community who take an active interest in any type of gardening and also have a desire to share their knowledge through education and community involvement. They're starting their sessions on Tuesday evening, January 15th, and that runs from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. That's every Tuesday through March 19th. The cost for the entire program is $150 per person, and registrations must be in to the Cass County Extension Office by January 4th to have the materials available for the first training. You can contact the Cass County Extension Office at 243-1132. Atlantic Church of God of Prophecy will have a free Christmas puppet program on Sunday, December 16th, and that is from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. The event is free for the community, and seating will begin at 10:45. The Countdown to Christmas puppet play is hosted by Cameron Campbell. They'll begin the program with a reading of the real Christmas story of St. Luke, chapter 2, and will also sing several traditional Christmas songs before the play. Santa and his elves will give each family Christmas goodies after the puppet program as well. Again, that's the Atlantic Church of God of Prophecy free Christmas puppet program on December 16th from 11 to 12. The Cancer Support Group that meets the third Monday of the month at the First Church of Christ in Atlantic, they will not meet in December. The Atlantic BPW Christmas Party will be held on December 19th at the SF Martin House at 6:30. Bring a $10 grab bag gift if you wish to join in the gift exchange. You can RSVP by Evite or contact one of the hostesses by December 17th. The hostesses are Margaret Sontag, Janice Brown, and Rhonda Harry. Again, that's the Atlantic BPW Christmas Party. It will be on December 19th at the SF Martin House at 6:30. You can bring a $10 grab bag gift and contact one of the hostesses to let them know you'll be there by December 17th. A Red Cross blood drive will be held in Atlantic on December 20th, and that is from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. There's also a Red Cross blood drive in Greenfield on Friday, December 21st from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. That will be held at the Nottoway Valley High School. A night of music and dancing will be held on December 22nd from 7 to 10 p.m. That's at the Elks Lodge in Atlantic. It's for the third annual holiday ball. Popcorn Button, a 16-piece swing band, will be providing another free evening of music for the community. Pam and Jake Arbach will be back in action on the dance floor, and they'll be helping any dancer learn steps to the waltz, swing, polka, and two-step. Dancers of any level of experience are welcome and encouraged to attend. Rather than a specific time set up for the lessons, they'll be going throughout the evening to help any dancers get started while the music continues. Santa Claus himself has taken time out of his busy schedule to make an appearance, and an optional free donation will be taken at the door to cover the band's expenses. With all the extra going to the Atlantic Food Pantry, the Holiday Ball is a free public event. All ages and dancing abilities are invited and encouraged to attend. Again, that's on December 22nd from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Elks Lodge in Atlantic, and it's the third annual Holiday Ball. A Red Cross blood drive will be held in Audubon on December 28th, and that is from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. That will be held at St. Patrick's Parish Center.
Not a lot of stuff there.
Nope, that's all I got for now.
Well, that's largely, as we said, because so many people are planning their Christmas,
their own Christmas
holiday
stuff, yeah.
Things. Yeah, there are lots of things happening. They're just not public.
Yeah.
A lot of private parties, yeah, little... things like that. I do have one other thing here in front of me. The Elks National Free Throw Hoop Shoot Contest is coming up on Saturday, December 22nd. That'll be next weekend at 10 a.m. at the Nishna Valley Family YMCA here in Atlantic. Now, it's for all area boys and girls aged 8 through 13 as of April the 1st of 2012. And it is a free event. The basketballs are provided. Wear comfortable clothing and tennis shoes. And you can register beginning at 9:30 Saturday morning, December 22nd, the day of the event. Now, local winners can advance to district, state, regional, and national competition. We've had some youngsters advance all the way up to the national competition at different times. Now, if you have questions, the Elks Hoop Shoot Director locally is Greg Schuler. You can contact Greg or his wife, Deb, and they can tell you more. Or you can go online to www.elks.org/hoopshoot.com if you'd like to see more. Find out more information about that. Pretty easy, pretty fun. Kids have a good time with it. It's a lot of fun for them. Have any birthdays over there at all?
I have one birthday. We'd like to wish Faye Erickson at the Exira Care Center happy birthday on December 22nd. So happy birthday to Faye Erickson on December 22nd at the Exira Care Center.
Awfully close to a Christmas baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting stuff there. A lot of fun. A lot of food this time of the year.
Yeah. I'm thinking of my desk.
I know. And I had a chance to visit the other day with Emily Kringle, a visit that we'll hear later on this next week on the air. But she's a registered dietitian here with Cass County Memorial Hospital. You know, some tips that I've learned over the years from talking to different folks like that are kind of interesting. You know, there's just so much food around this time of the year. You sometimes don't even realize how much you're eating.
Yeah, a bite here, a bite there. Oh, I'll try this.
How much of what you eat during the Christmas season is because you're hungry, and how much of it is just because it's there?
Very, very little because I'm hungry. I think it's mostly all because it's there.
The problem is I'm never hungry during the Christmas season.
Well, everybody's got their Christmas platters, you know, just sitting full of all these goodies, and it's all sweets. It's not like there's apples and oranges and grapes sitting on it. It's all chocolate and fudge and covered pretzels and... the good stuff.
Lots of sugar.
Yeah.
Lots of starch. Mm-hmm. Lots of calories.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing. And then, you know, you don't really think much about it, but every time you sit down and grab a handful of that Chex Mix or, you know, a little bit of this or that, all the stuff that's sitting out at this time, usually you're going to grab something to drink then too.
Yeah.
How often is it water? Probably not very often.
Lately I've been doing better at that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because it'll help fill you up. So you don't eat quite so much, but also it doesn't give you all those idle calories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times do people grab stuff like, soda pop. And stuff? You know, there's, you know, roughly 150 calories every can. Mm-hmm. So it's the idle calories that you pick up and stuff too. But, you know, then take it a step further. It's the time of the year. How about hot apple cider?
Mm,
good, but lots of sugar added.
Yeah.
How about eggnog?
Oh, that's loaded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's just cream.
That's a meal in a cup is what it is when it comes to calories. So, yeah, you start, you stop and think about how much that you take in during the course of the season. You know, some little tips that you can do to kind of help you. Because a lot of folks, after the holiday season is over, what do you do in the first of the year?
I'm going to work out more.
You make resolutions. Yeah. That's right. I'm going to work. Yeah, and those are the ones that are usually key. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they all try to get you along the same goal. You're trying to fit into those pants you fit into December 1st that you no longer fit into on January 1. And that's common, unfortunately. A lot of folks get through that. You know, we are a country of great means. You know, even the poorest of us have more than folks do in some other countries. Mm-hmm. We don't realize all the time how fortunate we are to have food at our disposal all the time. The amount that we waste is just incredible. But, you know, it always seems like when you do parties, let's say you're hosting a holiday mm-hmm. party for family and friends, the last thing you want to do is run out of food.
Right.
Oh, boy, you can't do that. You know, and there are certain expectations. It's a certain amount of peer pressure that goes with it, too. But, you know, some of the things that you can do just in the routine things, not just at parties, but just routine around the office or different places, would be just to put the stuff away. Don't leave it sit out all the time. Then you don't necessarily, if you don't walk by it, you're not tempted by it. Or if it's got a cover, if it's in a container, if the cookies came in a container that has a cover on it, put the cover on it mm-hmm. and seal it. So you have to make an effort. It's easy to
maybe
walk
kind of
by.
You realize and, what you're doing, yeah.
If you can walk by and grab a cookie without breaking stride.
Just a drive-by cookie grab.
That's right. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And you will.
Yep.
But if you have to actually physically stop and pop open a lid and then grab one, there's less. It's less likely that you will. Now, it sounds silly.
So I was going to say, does that sound like we're more lazy then? Or because we can't stop it.
I guess that's what I'm saying. But another thing, too, is, you know, candies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Usually this is maybe more prevalent around Halloween and Easter. But, you know, if you get the little individual candies, people will put candy dishes out and stuff. If you have the little individual candies that are individually wrapped while you're eating them, mm-hmm. leave the wrappers on your desk or put them on the table.
No, thanks.
Don't just throw them away. Because if you actually see those wrappers sitting there and you can physically count how many you've had, because mm-hmm. you'll lose count if you just try to, oh, I'll just grab five.
Yeah.
And then you grab five more, and then a couple more here, and next thing you know, you've eaten 25 pieces of candy, and you don't even realize it. But if you have all the wrappers sitting on your desk mm-hmm. or sitting in front of you so you can see them.
Then you kind of, maybe I should stop for a while.
That's a strong impetus to get your hand out of the candy dish. Well, think about it. It's a lot cheaper than hiring somebody during the holidays to follow you around and slap the back of your hand every time you reach for something.
Yeah.
Which also, I guess, would be a reasonable solution, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you can find people do that for you.
Yeah, good luck with that. But so many of us, you know, once we get past the holidays, boy, that's the first thing we think of is, oh, boy. You know, we overindulge in two things during the holidays, typically. Money, credit.
Yeah.
You know, the credit card bill comes in January and everybody's shocked. I didn't realize I did that much.
Right.
And food.
Yep.
And, you know, yikes, now my belt doesn't fit anymore.
So now you got to go shopping for...
Yeah. Now I got to run up more credit card debt because I have to go shopping for new clothes. You know, we tend to go to the extreme all the time. We eat too much, then we decide we have to go on a drastic diet to lose it. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if we just kind of... kept
mellowed
it steady.
Throughout, yeah.
Yeah, keep it steady. Stay with your habits. I mean, it's not that you don't have to, you know, you can never indulge and never have a little bit of fun that, you know, with food and stuff during the holidays. But just don't go hog wild.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to break those habits. And once you do, it's really tough to get back into them again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you can watch a little bit of that here during the holiday season, it'll make it less of a shock for you after the holiday season. A lot of sugar goes into the system this time of the year. Whew, boy.
Yeah.
You don't have to make everything in the cookbook, right?
Right. But if somebody's made it for you, it's a little easier.
I know. Willpower.
Yes, I know.
Got to have that willpower. Make sure that you keep an eye on yourself. Like I said, otherwise you go hire somebody, slap your hand every time you reach. But that's a little tough. So
yeah,
well, have fun this holiday season. But as always, do it in a smart fashion. A little moderation never hurt. That's all we have for you this weekend. Thanks for joining us. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this has been your Anishinaabe Valley.